Good morning. First and foremost, Dr. Williams and I would like to thank the co-authors of this very vital and important project that was carried on in the state of South Carolina. And secondly, I want to offer my sincere thanks to Dr. Williams, who is standing to the right of left of me now, ready to catch me just in case I fall as I present this briefly. As I was standing in one of the presentations yesterday, the whole idea of the house ball community was presented. And one of the things that was very clear after listening to many of the individuals in that meeting was that some individuals knew what the house ball community stood for, but many individuals had no idea what the house ball community stood for or means in terms of the continuum of healthcare and initiatives or subgroups within the MSM community. I have been given the privilege this morning to speak briefly on the history of this particular project, and Dr. Williams will go into greater detail. But first, we need to talk about the backdrop and the background. There are several key points that we do know. One is that, of course, African-American MSM and YMSM continue to be disproportionately impacted by HIV and AIDS. And this is in spite of what is clearly an understanding that the reported sexual risk behaviors of black MSM are similar to that of white MSM. And yet there are study results which have varied as to why negative health outcomes are higher among black MSM. But one or two points that are very clear. Sexual networks have been found to play a key role in sexual risk dynamics and disease outcomes. But it's also clear that social networks have also been found to play a key role in health promotion and sexual risk reduction. And so we started to think about the house ball scene and how did we get here? Several years ago, the South Carolina HIV/AIDS Council, of which I am a member of and deputy director of, we were asked by the South Carolina Department of Health to engage in a community assessment of MSM in two counties in the state of South Carolina. And we were asked to do this because there was an increased incidence of syphilis found among MSM within these two communities. By and large, the MSM that were interviewed and assessed during this process were African American. They ranged in age between 19 and 51. But one of the things that was an outcome of this entire process was that there seemed to be this subgroup of MSM, African American and Latinos, who we were interviewing and assessing, who kept bringing up this topic of the house scene, and their involvement and engagement in the house community. And so we went from there, and we wanted to start doing some questioning, because we wanted to see what this house community meant, because as I found out yesterday, the South Carolina HIV/AIDS Council, all of us were in that group of individuals who really didn't know a great deal about the house community. And so we started looking at houses and the house ball scene. And what we found during our investigation was that the house scene began during the Harlem Renaissance. And the Harlem Renaissance, for many and most individuals may know, is a time when black individuals began to celebrate their individuality, their culture, their artistic ability, their ingenuity, their intellect, and it manifested itself in so very many ways. But at the same time, there was this parallel going on among the black gay community. And it was a time when individuals got together and started to celebrate their artistic ability, their intellect, their ingenuity, and it was a time of competition collected into these costume balls, but it was also a time of support for individuals at a time when black, gay males, and transgendered individuals had little opportunities to have support. And so we knew that, or we had heard about house ball communities existing in major metropolitan areas and in northern communities, but until that time, which was approximately 4 to 5 years ago, we had very little indication that there was a significant population of individuals who were engaged in the house ball community within the state of South Carolina. The houses themselves have a very clear structure. There is a parent, and remember, these are African-American, MSM, and transgendered individuals, but they are organized into an actual familial type of relationship. There are parents, there are leaders within the houses, there are board members within the houses, and there are children, kids, within the houses. The houses represent themselves or align themselves or by the house title itself. The House of Blahnik, the House of Mizrahi, the House of Saint Laurent, the House of Ninja, the House of Blahnik Zion. Individuals have a tendency, well, they do not have a tendency. They change their name to represent their house affiliation. So each of these have a birth name. Name given to them at birth, but they also have adopted the name of their particular house. Father J. Blahnik, who should be at the left bottom of your screen, his name is Damon Humes. He was our consultant for this project, and yet he has significant prestige and influence within the house ball community. We've known Damon for several years, and he has been or was essential to the recruitment efforts and moving individuals into this investigation. And he did that, and I might add, from quite a distance away. He's located in Buffalo, New York, but because of his power and prestige within the house ball community, he was able to mobilize individuals in South Carolina. Again, there is a clear structure to houses. These are large governing bodies of many of the houses. There's the Atlanta Ballroom Alliance, the National Federation of Houses, and these bodies are responsible to provide the policy, governance, and oversight of numerous houses that exist within different areas of the country. This slide basically represents that as the stars move in, the first stars are where the house ball scene, where it began. The second place as it migrated, as it moved across the country. So it moved from the north to the south, to the Midwest, to the West Coast. But then we also have emerging communities, indicated by the red circling little items. Most significant of which is the one located in South Carolina. So what's the premise? The premise of the House Ball Project was to explore the structure and role of house networks in promoting sexual health in the South, to understand the house network, to examine how the connections within and between houses can be utilized for sexual health promotion and STD prevention, to examine the viability of reaching young MSM of color within our state. And so again, we had an extensive study team, many partnerships, SCAHAC, the South Carolina HIV/AIDS Council, represented on the top individuals. Damon Humes was our consultant. Our state health department collaborated with us. And of course, we have to give great appreciation to the Centers for Disease Control and Dr. Samantha Williams, who was our project officer, who will now come forward and talk about the methods, the results, and as well as the implications of this particular project.
Thank you, Dr. White. The participants in the study were asked to commit to participating in 3 focus groups and 1 one-on-one interview. The data from that we're going to present today is going to be focused on the one-on-one interview. Recruitment, Dr. Whitehead mentioned, was completed by Damon Hume, and was done via internet postings and word of mouth. And our criteria was that they had to be African-American or Latino. We did have 7% of our participants who were Latino. They had to have lived in South Carolina in the previous year, and they also had to be 18 years or older. What we also wanted to do is to get diversity, a diverse representation from the community. So we oversampled with the House members who also referred themselves as the children, but we also tried to get members who were considered to be leaders as well as observers. Data was collected from the spring of 2008 to the winter of 2008. And as I mentioned before, we oversampled with members who were also called the children, who also walked the balls. Very quickly, 93% of our population or of our sample were African American. Most were between ages of 19 and 24. And 98% of our participants had 12 years or more of education. And 43% were actually currently in school. Now, we also noted that 12% of our population, or 12% of our sample, indicated that they were positive. And of those who indicated that they were HIV positive, most of them were leaders and older members of the community. A little less than 40% of our participants were fully employed. However, even though they may not have had employment, they still had sources of income. And about 43% actually indicated that their sources of income were actually under $10,000, which is below the poverty line. And when we asked about those sources of income, they included money that they would get from family members, that they would earn from pageants and balls. And I also want to note that money that they earned from pageants and balls was shared with the house that they represented, so it wasn't always there to completely keep. And then they also received public assistance. We were really surprised to see that not so much how many people were willing to participate in the study, but how much representation, diversity representation in the houses. We had 10 different houses from South Carolina that were represented in our sample. The interesting thing is that none of these houses were indigenous to South Carolina. Specifically, all of them were transplants from larger cities such as New York City or Philadelphia, and that they were specific chapters that were linked to larger houses from some of the larger metropolitan areas. The time in the house ranged from a single month to as many as 20 years, but the majority had been a member of the house anywhere from 4 or less years. And with regard to their position within the community in their own house, 45% indicated that they were children who also walked the balls and represented their houses. But we did have a significant number who indicated that they were leaders within the community as well as within their own houses. We looked at attraction that was reported by our participants, and 73% of our participants indicated that they were attracted to men, but about a quarter indicated that they were attracted to both men and women, or just simply women. With regard to self-perception, over three-fourths indicated that they were gay. However, we did have about 10% that indicated that they were either straight or they didn't respond at all to that question. And even though most of the people indicated they had some measure of outness, please note that 48% were out not to everyone, but about half of everyone. And most of those people who they were out to were members of the community, and not necessarily members of the community from which they actually lived or were born from, were born into. And about 20% of our sample indicated that they wanted to be a member of the opposite sex, and about 19% total of the sample indicated they had plans for having gender reassignment or transitioning to another gender. We also looked at sexual partnerships, and the range was from 0 partners in the previous year to 15 partners in the previous year, with a median of 2 partners. We also asked about committed relationships, and we didn't define the committed relationships for them to being a one-on-one relationship. And so we found that 87% of our members actually had committed relationships with 1 or 2 partners. Now, even though there is we did find unprotected sex during anal sex as a bottom or a top, as well as oral sex, what I really want to highlight is the amount of protected sex that the members had during oral and anal sex, particularly with oral sex, where in other studies it has been actually closer to 0 when we look at oral sex, condom use during oral sex. This may be a little busy slide, so I'm going to try to walk you very quickly through it. This is a comparison of the participants who had indicated they had steady, non-steady, and exchange partners, the majority of which had steady partners. Now, when you look at non-steady partnership, more of the non-steady partnerships reported that they did not use condoms during oral, that they did use condoms during oral and anal sex. And they also, however, reported not knowing their partner's HIV status. The other thing that we also wanted to note is that even though there are people who did not discuss HIV, it was also very interesting to find that there were considerable amounts of or considerable reports of discussion of HIV with partners among steady, non-steady, and exchange partners, and perhaps discussion around HIV with exchange partners being less than 30% may not be of a surprise. With regard to substance use, 60% indicated that they had used substances in the previous year, but most of those substances were marijuana, alcohol, and cigarettes, and 21% indicated that they had used ecstasy, and about 10% reported being in drug treatment. We also wanted to find out more of the participants about what were their worries and concerns. And they talked extensively during the focus groups about the stigma of being Black, gay, and living in the South. As you see with the list of concerns that the participants had indicated, they included economic worries, worries with their primary partnership, as well as their own children, not just the children in their houses, but their biological children as well. And all of these worries were in addition to the concerns that they had with actually living in a very stigmatized environment. And we have to say that with regard to stigmatization, that one of the best statements that actually described, you know, being able to trying to build a really strong sense of self at the same time living in a stigmatized environment was by Willie Ninja from the House of Ninja. He was a father of Manel's House of Ninja and died in 2006. To speak very clear, I wanted to say this because I think it's just a powerful statement. Breakdancers get together and they do stuff like this and it's fully accepted. But if Madonna does Vogue, it's okay, he added. But when the ball children dance, even now people say, oh, it's just a bunch of crazy queens throwing themselves on the floor. And actually this was reported from a New York Times article that was done on him and the ball scene in 2006. And the reason why I wanted to show this is that when people think of the house ball community, they think of the film Paris is Burning. But when you talk to members from the house ball community, they actually say that that is not a very good representation of their community at all. Matter of fact, there was actually some legal issues around the house is Burning where the community felt that they were actually used in the production of this film. So there was a film that came out in 2006, shortly after the death of Willie Ninja, and Willie Ninja and other members, other icons who were also featured in the house in the Paris is Burning, which actually has a better depiction of the house ball community. And it also talks about the house ball community and how they have dealt with HIV in the years since 1990. I'm running short on time, so I'm going to try to quickly go through this. Now, when it comes to, we actually asked the members of the sample to give us more information about what it is that, you know, they could do and also we could do to help facilitate sexual health. And the participants talked about inter as well as intra commitment and the importance of working together. They talked about establishing and maintaining strong community connections within and between houses. And also they talked about the importance of community empowerment and the need for improvement, but it was the how. How do you improve the community empowerment and the improvement in their community? That was the actual challenge. They also offered prevention opportunities, many of which have been well noted during the conference. The use of the internet, intervention strategies that utilize peer-to-peer or popular opinion leader, and also using health communications and also non-traditional partnerships. So, what are the implications? Over the year of analyzing and disseminating this data, we've been asked, so, is this really new? And the answer is yes and no. Our sister division of HIV and TB has previously engaged the house ball community in their investigations as well as their intervention adaptations. But with regard to the work done in the Division of STDs, the engagement has been limited to more of the screening that we do on a more local level. We have this really unique opportunity that we found from this formative study, this formative research, to contribute to the goal of sexual health among MSM, young MSM, and men's health in general by engaging the houseball community, which although it may seem like a small community, a small subcop population, it is a small population that literally ripples through the entire community of MSM. So moreover, we also have an opportunity to move this discourse around sexual health goals and prevention of HIV as well as STDs from that of a discourse of a marginalized population to that of a population that is also influential and how and is a great potential for agents of change. I'd like to acknowledge once again the South Carolina HIV/AIDS Council, which is not listed here, but they're very present. We have members who are here, as well as the South Carolina Department of Environmental Health and Control, CDC in general, our division, as well as the House community members who so generously gave their time and information to us. Thank you.